Hello, everybody, and welcome to the All Sports Best Podcast. This is a special edition. We've decided on this, that we love to do lists, especially when we're doing it competitively. I've got Ruben on the show tonight, and we've also got Danny Ramirez on the show. He is one of our main blog writers for the website, allsportsbest.com. Danny, how are you doing today?
Doing good, Trey. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you very much. Ruben, how's it going?
It's going confident. That's how it's going.
It's going confident. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, so we've all been talking trash to each other throughout the day, just saying whose list is better, and we're deciding on a few different things that we're going to, a few different directions we're going to take this. But I'm really pumped about this. So, you know what? I think we just jump right into it. So, we're going to go ahead and list off the top 10 sports venues, and we're going to start from number 10. Danny, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. So before I start, I just want to let you guys know, okay, it's a little biased, but my list has a bunch of historical elements to it, and also how it would feel to be in those venues as a fan, as a spectator. So that's how I came across my list. So just to let you guys know.
Okay,
but starting with my number 10, of course, it has to be Soldier Field. And this was not just because I'm a Bears fan. It's also because of just the atmosphere, the crowd. I mean, it could be a winning season or a losing season. It doesn't matter. The crowd's still electric, which is pretty cool. Not only that, but you also get the wind chill from Lake Michigan, especially in the cold months. So that's also pretty cool. And then it doesn't matter. Every year, the Bears are going to have a guaranteed football weather game. I know I went to, me and my wife actually went to a 2010 Patriots versus Bears game where it was snowing like crazy. It was a blizzard. So
dang.
I got to experience that, and it was pretty cool. So that's why I chose Soldier Field as my number 10.
So you enjoy the wind chill. Like, you're fine with it just being just crazy freezing.
You know what? I enjoyed it up until my wife went to the bathroom and lost my gloves. So up until there, it was pretty good.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, Ruben, that's number 10 from Danny. I got to hear yours.
My number 10 is actually AT&T Stadium, Dallas, formerly known as the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. It seats 100,000 people, which is crazy. It's got a retractable roof. It was built in 2009. And I guess the reason I put them on the list, I was kind of debating between this one and another venue. And the reason I picked this one was because it is, I mean, I think the Dallas Cowboys, even though I don't like them at all, have probably the most fans in the whole country.
Yeah.
So I think being that, I feel like with their capacity in that stadium and as awesome as it is, that there's got to be, it's got to be somewhere on that list. So okay. That's where I put it.
And to add to that, I mean, I had a lot of details on the Cowboys Stadium, AT&T. And when I was looking through it, I noticed, I didn't put them on my list, to be honest with you. I didn't. It was a toss-up between this and my number 10. But the fact that their Jumbotron is 72 feet by 160 feet, which was, at the time, the biggest one. And I think now the Houston Texans actually have the biggest one. But they spent $1.5 billion on that freaking stadium, dude. So it's crazy. Anyways,
ridiculous.
That's a good one, though. I like that. I'm going to start off my number 10 with TD Ameritrade. I really, really enjoy the fact that it is one of the only places that hosts the championship of a popular sport every single year. It's always held in Omaha. TD Ameritrade is where you're going to find your college baseball World Series. It's home to the Creighton Blue Jays, which really doesn't mean anything because there
nothing.
It means nothing there. But it's the newest park on my list. And they have a Ruben. You just love leaving your phone on every single time. But anyways. the record attendance is a little under 30,000 people, but I was able to go there and it was an insane. It was amazing. Felt great. It had a college style atmosphere. People are walking around. You get to be right there with the players. Of course, they're not pros, but it's great. And the scoreboard was 5.29 million in case you wanted to know how nice it is. That kind of helps. And then lastly, there's been zero bombs in center field. So it's almost like a big challenge field. So it's pretty cool to me.
Wow.
Okay. The only comment I have to say about that, I was going to put them on my list. if it would have still been Rosenblatt Stadium,
right,
then they would have been all over my list. But I just, I don't know, I guess because it just doesn't have the same feel, you know, because it's a new stadium and everything. But I think it is cool that it's a college, you know.
Have you been to both World Series to know what it feels like?
No, I actually haven't.
I'm just kidding. No, I agree. When I went there, everybody was telling me that Rosenblatt was, you know, head and heels.
Insane.
Oh, it was ridiculous. Head over heels better. But it was because of the atmosphere around the stadium, not necessarily the inside. This one, state of the art. It's unbelievable. So, number nine, Danny, go ahead and kick us off.
All right, I'm going to get a lot of smack talk for this one, I'm pretty sure. But number nine for me is the Sun Bowl. Sun Bowl.
Okay.
I know.
Hey, you're breaking up. I think your reception's bad.
Yeah, technical difficulties again.
Just email us the rest of your list.
Yeah, you know what? You got to give the Sun Bowl some credit, though. I mean, they have – it's a uniquely built stadium. I mean, it's built within a mountain, for God's sake. That's pretty amazing, I think. Don't you guys?
Yeah, I agree with that. That's pretty cool. I wouldn't put it on my top 10, but it is cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I went and saw One Direction there, so yeah, it's a pretty cool stadium.
That's a true statement.
So yeah, I mean, that's the only reason why I chose them. It's just the uniqueness of that stadium.
Okay, very cool. Let me just say this, though, in case you were wondering, like, oh, he went to One Direction. Yeah, he must have went with fans. He went by himself. He went and watched One Direction. Big Harry Styles fan in here. All right, Ruben,
no
number nine.
Here, Ruben.
Okay, my number nine is Cameron Indoor Arena. And the reason I picked them is because I think it'd be insane to go to one of the games there. I'm not a Duke fan at all. In fact, if I had to pick, I guess North Carolina would be my favorite of the two. But I would rather go to a Duke game just because of the way the students get to sit right there and just paint their face and act crazy. And I mean, it's not a very big stadium, only 9,300 seats. But I just think, you know, the atmosphere would be insane. And I just think it has to be on that list.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I do. I really enjoy that one. And I'll tell you why here in just a little bit. But my number nine is the Rose Bowl. I really do think that one's got some good history behind it. Obviously, the Rose Bowl is one of the most iconic bowls in playoffs for the college football playoffs. And every 3 years, they host, well, it's still called the Rose Bowl, but it's considered the semifinal now for the playoff games to get to the national championship, which is cool. They get a bid on that, which every other venue is, it changes every year. That's the only one that they recur back to. They go back to every 3 years. So that one's pretty sweet. And it says that it holds a little over 90,000 people. It was built in 1922, or it was opened in 1922. UCLA plays there, so obviously a very notable Los Angeles team. They hosted a few events in the 1984 Summer Olympics, and they have a 30-foot by 77-foot LED video display. I love the video displays.
You're all about the video.
They're amazing. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. The only downfall on them, and the reason that I have them at nine and not a little bit higher, is because they have bench-style seating. So to me, that would be just kind of like a little bit of a downfall, because they can definitely upgrade and still have that same feel. But yeah, that's the only thing
that
brings
historic,
it down.
That's historic, though.
No, I agree with that. They also coined the name, you know, bowl game for the playoffs or the postseason for football. So everything was named after the Rose Bowl, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, Danny, number eight?
Number eight is Yankee Stadium for me. Yankee Stadium. I mean, the newest one, of course. I would have chose the old one, of course, but you know, now that they demolished it, I think, right? They demolished that.
Yes,
they did.
So, I mean, if you're in New York, you have to go to a Yankee game. So that's why I chose them. Plus, they brought everything that was in regards to their history. They brought over to the new stadium, which is pretty cool of a shrine that you can see if you go and visit that stadium.
Yeah, I like that pick. I think that's a cool one.
It's tough picking these, I guess, because you've got the old and the new. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, I mean, sure, if they had the old one of all the stadiums that we're talking about, it'd be more historic. But the new ones, now you've got the upgraded everything. And so it's going to be good for the next 100, maybe 60, 70 years, maybe less because of the way they want to upgrade all the time. But, still, it's pretty awesome. That's a all good pick.
Ruben's number eight.
My number eight is actually Churchill Downs. I went ahead and picked that because that's the oldest horse racing facility in the world, I guess. built in 1875, and of course it's home to the Kentucky Derby, and the capacity for that is actually 170,000, which is insane.
Wow.
Because I feel like most horse race things like
that's ridiculous. Sutherland Park,
you know what I mean? It just has like one side. So usually I would think maybe 5 or 10,000, you know what I mean? So yeah, it'd be insane to, I don't know if I could perform as a horse if I, you know, was to race there.
It'd be hard to be a horse in that arena. Wow. Dang it. That really actually upsets me because I really wish I would have put that, you know, thought of horse racing. I didn't think of that.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead. Give us yours.
I mean, it is a sport, I guess. Very little athleticism
Go
involved.
Go ahead. Give us yours.
Okay. Number 8 for me was Cameron Indoor Stadium. I hate Duke with a passion, but I have to respect that their fans literally make that place the hardest place to play for a visiting team in college basketball. So when you think of that place, like I said, Cameron Indoor, it's like impossible to play there when you're on the road, unless the other team, you know, unless Duke is on a down year or something like that. Even then, it still makes it a lot harder. So yeah, they're called the Cameron Crazies. The craziest thing about them is when they have a big time game, when they're about to play like North Carolina or somebody that's maybe like a top or second rate rival, they're going to stay for months in tents to get tickets to those games. I mean, it's ridiculous how they do it.
Yeah.
So it's a true crazy. You know, bleed blue type of crazy. Exactly. So that's what I like. And they named the court after Coach K. It's called, you know, so that's pretty cool too, because he's still active. That's pretty neat.
Yep.
All right, go for it, Danny.
All right, so my number 8 is, or we're 7, right?
7
now. Yeah, my 7, this one's for Joselli here, Notre Dame Stadium.
Oh, nice.
You know, they have that iconic touchdown Jesus, which, you know, comes out in every game. It's a historic college stadium, of course. And the atmosphere, I mean, you have, you know, people crowd surfing and being thrown up in the air. Plus, you have the leprechaun who does, you know, push-ups with every touchdown.
Right.
And then at the end, I mean, win or lose, they always do the alma mater song, Notre Dame, Our Mother, which is pretty cool. Everybody unites and, you know, they sway back and forth and sing that song, which is pretty cool. I would like to see that in person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be a cool place to go. And I hope you like that one too, Jose Lee, because I did. Okay, my number 7 is actually Maracana, which is where they, I guess, the built, it was actually built in 1950 for the first World Cup, and it held, I guess, it on that actual venue or stage or whatever, there was 173,000 paid attendance, and 200,000 actually saw the game. But now I guess the capacity is actually 78,000 to go to soccer games and stuff. But that's in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. So I think that would be a cool stadium to go see if I wanted to go see a soccer event.
All right. So you guys might have this higher on your list. But for me, number 7 is Lambeau Field. Green Bay Packers play there. Obviously, they're home to the Packers. And they have very passionate fans. It's very iconic, obviously. A lot of good football has been played there, championships, et cetera. And it's considered the frozen tundra. I think it would appeal to Danny because you do like the cold and that it does bring that football weather to the field and everything like that. It's pretty neat. So they've been home to the Packers longer than any other team has been in their stadium. And that's 51 seasons. So that's pretty neat. They've got statues of Vince Lombardi and Curly Lambeau, who it's obviously named after. And I think one of the coolest things is when you have something that the fans are accustomed to. And one of the things that they do at that field is when the Packers score, they do the Lambeau leap. They jump into the fans. And I mean, obviously you're going to pay a little bit of a premium on your tickets just to go and have a chance at a player, you know, jumping up there and having that moment. So I think that really brings it all together. And obviously I love the history of it.
I've got more to say about that, but I'll do it later.
Okay. All right. Danny, number 6.
Yeah, I can't say more about that because Lambeau Field is my 6. Just like you mentioned, Trey, just, you know, the historic factor, I think that plays a lot into my decision of having them number 6. The cool thing, and I don't know if you guys knew this, it's located within a neighborhood. I mean, you have, like, residential housing around the stadium, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, just like you mentioned, they were, you know, they've been housing the Packers for 51 plus years now. And they've kept some traditional elements to it. I mean, most of it is, it's a unique and it's outdated, but now they're incorporating like modern, like a modern atrium now. And that's where they're going to be having a restaurant. They have, you know, private tours, and they have restaurants, and then, so I mean, there's a lot of things that they're doing now with that stadium. They're kind of making it more modern, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah, no, I think that that's the best way to do it, is to renovate instead of demolish and start over, because then it loses all of its history.
Absolutely.
It does, but if you're Jerry Jones, you're thinking about the millions of dollars you're going to make out of each game instead of just adding to history. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So,
well, that's true.
I guess you can look at either side. Okay, my number six is actually the Rose Bowl. So you said most of what I would say on the Rose Bowl, except I think you didn't say that five Super Bowls have been held there, and they also held the World Cup there 1 year.
I had that written down. I just didn't want to take up too much time.
You just didn't. You just wanted. You wanted me to say something.
I
about
wanted to
it?
Leave you some details.
Okay. So yeah. So Rose Bowl in Pasadena. That's pretty cool.
Your All six. Right. My number six. I have a Staples Center for my number six. Very historic. Even with it not being like super old or anything, it had. I mean, the Lakers have won five championships in there. You know what I mean? Kobe made his home there. Everybody knows that, and he's arguably one of the top. I mean, if you're not telling me that Kobe's not one of the top five players ever, well, that's fine with me. But in my opinion, he definitely is. So they host. The coolest part about them is the craziness of their multi-purpose facility. They host the Lakers, Clippers, Kings from in hockey. They host the Sparks and plenty of other things. They have events like UFC, WWE, concerts like crazy, motocross. I mean, just literally anything you can mention that could be done indoors or just on a stadium, it can be done there. They host 250 events every year, and 4 million guests visit it every year. So that to me is insane. And just the statues alone blow my mind. Wayne Gretzky, Magic Johnson, Oscar De La Hoya, Chick Hearn, Jerry West, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Shaq. And I'm sure Kobe's going to be in there soon.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I wouldn't put him on my list, but I think that's a good pick. Also, that was the place where Michael Jackson had his funeral.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, just literally anything that you want to do in Staples, if you're going to do it up big, that's where you're going to do it, really, honestly.
Yep, that's true. That's a good one.
All right, number five, Danny.
Number five is AT&T Park for me, where the Giants play, of course, not the stadium. But what kind of brings me to that stadium is the iconic glove and Coke bottle, you know, out in the outfield.
That's cool.
And then, I've been to San Francisco once, and just where it's located is pretty cool. I mean, it's located by all the piers. And, I mean, on right field, you have McCovey Cove. And then nothing's better than seeing a home run hit that McCovey Cove. So that's why I chose AT&T Park. I think it's a pretty unique place, and it's a great location for it.
Yeah, I think that was a good one. I thought about that one just because of, like you said, where it is and kind of what the atmosphere's like there.
Yeah. No, I think that'd be a cool place to go see a game. Okay, my number five is actually Augusta. You know, of course, everybody knows Augusta, Georgia, home of the Masters, one of the four majors in golf. It started, I guess, in 1934, and it used to actually be called the Augusta National Invitational. And in 1939, they changed it to become the Masters because I guess they felt like the Masters of Golf, you know, that's when they win that, they're the Master of Golf or whatever. So that's why they changed it. But that's my number five.
Okay, so my number five, I actually made a last-minute switch a couple of hours ago. And I changed it to Wrigley Field. I actually switched the one that was at five to four. But I put Wrigley Field there. I love the historic part of it. I guess you could say it was built in 1916. I'm sorry. It opened in 1916. It's the second oldest in the MLB. I just love the natural grass. It's got that old school feel with the ivy covered brick wall. And I'll let you guys take over from there because I know you guys probably have that on your list, if not one, the other. And so anyways, a lot of things there that really stand out, and obviously the history. And I got to, you know, give props to the fans for sticking around for so long without any success. So
the lovable losers.
Exactly. Danny, go for it.
All right. So my number four is AT&T Stadium, the Palace in Dallas. You know, you guys mentioned a lot of cool things about it earlier. And, you know, I actually went to a game there 2 years ago. And I noticed, I mean, it's very contemporary. You have pieces of artwork just hung. It doesn't even seem like you're at a stadium. It seems like you're at a museum. And then the huge video board, how do you not notice that, you know? The only bad thing about that is I caught myself actually looking up at that scoreboard more than actually watching the field, which is a bad thing to me. But one of the reasons why it's up here, it's because it's unique in the sense that, and I don't even know how you would get to this place because I didn't even visit it myself, but close to the concourse, there's a place where all the Cowboys, you know, they come through, I guess, their locker rooms and go into the field, and people can actually sit and watch them, which is pretty cool. You don't see that in any other football stadium.
Yeah, that is pretty neat. You know, whenever I was talking about the extra facts on the Cowboys stadium, I noticed it had 3,000-plus video screens just built in all around the boxes, just in the concourse. To me, that's ridiculous, the amount of money. I think they spend enough money on electricity, it would cover like a whole country, like a small country is what I read on. I mean, how ridiculous is that? But yeah, I mean, it is. It's state of the art. There's no doubt.
Yeah. One of my friends actually went to the All-Star game for basketball.
Yeah.
And he said that he did the same thing. He caught himself looking at the Jumbotron the whole game.
Was it in 2010?
Probably. He had nosebleed seats, so that's, he could see it better up there, so he ended up watching the whole game up there.
He could have watched it on his couch.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I was looking up at that big screen. I should have just stayed home and watched this.
Ruben?
Okay, my number, are we on number four?
We're on number four, yeah.
Dang, we're already at four. Okay, my number four is actually the Old England Club, home of Wimbledon. So Wimbledon, I guess, some of the history, I guess, about that. It's the oldest tennis tournament in the world. Started in 1877. And in 2017, they gave out $31.6 million in prize money.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so that's how big it is.
So, yeah, it definitely is. It's iconic, no doubt. I got more on that here in just a bit. But number four for me, I put Camp Nou. And to be honest with you, I don't know a whole lot about it. Never been there.
That's why it's called Camp Nou.
Yeah, you don't know it. But no, it's home to the FC Barcelona. That's where Messi plays, obviously, the best player in the world. Arguably, I guess you could argue that. But he plays there, obviously. It holds 98,000 people, over 98,000 people. But at once, there was a big enough game where they squeezed in 120,000 people. So a little over 20,000 more people than it seats. So it's kind of crazy there. But it's Europe's largest soccer stadium. It opened in 1957. I mean, if you see pictures of this, you'd be blown away. It's ridiculous. So to me, I think that it was kind of obvious that I needed to put a soccer stadium in there, because if you see them, it's ridiculous. I've got to see a soccer game ASAP. That's my number four, yeah. Camp Nou.
I actually was thinking about putting them on my list, but then I started thinking, well, you know, Real Madrid has a pretty cool stadium too, and they have a pretty cool atmosphere as well, so that's why I didn't put them on my list.
I got you. So who is your number three? We're getting all the way up to the threes now.
Number three for me is the Rose Bowl. You know, just like you guys mentioned before, there's been huge games played there. We had the World Cup, the National Championship games, and then every year we have the Rose Bowl games. And then there was five Super Bowls played there, and one, you know, was won by your Steelers, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I just think, like, you know, being at a venue where so much historic games have gone down, I think that's probably why I chose it number three.
Okay, I got you. Very cool. Ruben?
My number three is Fenway Park, of course, home of the Boston Red Sox, oldest ballpark, built in 1912. And I guess everybody knows that ballpark, and probably two of the famous parts of that park are, of course, one is where they actually update all the scores and stuff, you know what I mean, in the outfield. And they have the Green Monster, and then they have the pesky pole. So, yeah, that's why I think it'd be a cool place to go see a game.
They definitely have some of the best landmarks on their field and iconic for sure. I love the word iconic when it comes to these things, because to me, that's what makes a sports venue so big. You know what I mean? Like big things happen there and there's history to it. So for me, number three, I have Augusta National Golf Club, and that might be on your lists or higher. I don't know. But to me, it's crazy because it opened in 1933. It hosts the Masters, one of the only places that does that every single year. It's played on the same course. But it's beautiful. It, I'm sorry. Yeah. The only way you can be a member is if you, get there by invite. It's $10,000 plus a year to be a member there, which is insane.
Wow.
Yeah. Some of the things that kind of stuck out to me was that on their menu, they have like food and stuff like that. And it only costs $1.50 because when you buy tickets to go and watch the tournament, the Masters, you're going to, you know, spend a lot of money on the ticket. They've kept it so traditional that they kept the prices at the same. I think they've froze it probably about 40 years.
So they just pad the amount in your ticket instead of going up on the food prices?
I guess so. Yeah, that's what they make it sound like. And I know I remember Braden was talking to us when he used to be on the show quite often. And he said that was one of the things that stuck out to him, that it's crazy. But then you look at the ticket price and it's like, holy smokes. So, yeah.
I actually heard that the prices for the tickets for Augusta is about $250 or $350. I can't remember, but it's $350 a day.
Dang.
And then, you know, the concessions is super cheap, but where they get their money is the golf shop or the pro shop. That's where they make all their money.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I read that it literally would take you $20 to feed a family of four with food and drinks and just be completely fine, which is something you won't get at anywhere else, you know? Danny, what's your number two?
My number two is Fenway Park. Okay. You know, just like Ruben was mentioning, the iconic green wall, the green monster. I think it's just the layout of the whole stadium is pretty unique because on the right side, or I think it's like right center, I mean, you have that weird angle, the seating. So I don't know if that's the bullpen. I'm not sure, but I mean, it seems like, you know, you can just hit like a line shot and it'll be a home run in that section. Yeah. So that's why I chose them. I mean, just, and I'm sure the atmosphere there is crazy. You know, Boston people are pretty insane. So that's why I chose it. It's the iconic green monster. I think I would like to sit up there one day.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good experience as well. Ruben?
My number two?
Your number two.
My number two is Lambeau Field. So you guys both mentioned Lambeau Field, and I think of all the football venues and stadiums and fields, and I felt like that was, you know, way up there because all the history, like you guys both have already mentioned. And I think the only thing you guys probably didn't mention was, I guess, the first real big-time game, I guess, was the Ice Bowl in 1967, and the Packers beat the Cowboys 21-17, and it was minus 13 degrees and minus 46 wind chill at that game. So
shorts and shirt t-shirt weather.
So definitely don't want to leave your gloves. Don't want to lose your gloves at that game.
Don't let anybody leave them.
Frostbite.
Exactly. So is that what what you got on it? You're bringing that? I like that. Number two for me is also Fenway Park. Danny, I agree with you on that one. I have a soft spot for baseball. So anything that just means a lot to the sport is going to go high on my list. I mean, it's pretty obvious, but Fenway Park, because of the history, it's the oldest park in the major leagues. It was opened in 1912, obviously in Boston, and they have a 37,000 people capacity, 37,000 people, 37,000 capacity, but they have at one point had over 47,000. I really enjoy the fact that, like you said, the green monster, but what a lot of people don't really key in on is behind the scoreboard is where a lot of iconic, and I'll use the word iconic again, that a lot of those big-time names sign their names back there. David Ortiz is back there. Manny Ramirez is back there. But I mean, like, Ted Williams is back there. You know what I mean? Like the best of the best that ever played there. And I remember we talked about it with Cody Ross's dad. Yeah, he said that Cody signed back there, and he signed back there for some reason.
So there must be a lot of people's signatures, if people's dad and brothers and cousins. So I'm going to try to sign back there if I go.
Exactly. Yeah, but there's countless memories, and And I just think that's really cool. The pesky pole, like you guys, I think you both mentioned, the fact that you can sign it is kind of cool. But the hand-changing scoreboard's neat. Danny, you mentioned that there's a bullpen in right field. They actually built that like years and years later after they built the stadium to help one of their lefties hit more home runs, which is crazy how they, I mean, obviously
to make it closer.
Yeah. Obviously you can't do that now, but yeah. Back in the day, it was just kind of like, okay, you got a park, we're playing there, you know? And so yeah. Whatever goes. And now there's obviously regulations, but I like the fact that this has so much history that if they rebuilt Fenway Park, they could still use these dimensions. Cause it's like grandfathered in just like Yankee Stadium. Cause their field's way too small.
Yeah.
It's like an infield.
In right field. It is. Yeah. No, but also the other thing that nobody mentioned about Fenway is I know we saw that one show with Jimmy Fallon, and they say that the only way you can get season tickets too is if somebody dies or something, because people just pass it on, you know, mostly from generation to generation, and that it's just insane to try to get season tickets there. So,
yeah, and I think when you mention that, I think it kind of opens, you know, a lot of people's eyes to the fact that when they finally won a World Series after being quote unquote cursed, that people were crying and people were, you know, just ridiculously happy. And it's not just because, oh, my team won. Oh gosh. No, there's so much history behind it. I feel the same way for the Cubs, you know, for being on a drought so long with family members that never got to see any real true finish of a success, that it really does mean more than just, hey, we won.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Danny, got to hit us with your number one. This is the final countdown.
Gotta go big. Gotta go big on this one.
All right, well, my number one's Wrigley Field. I had to include it as my number one.
I'm just kidding.
You know, it's like you said, it's iconic. You have the wall of ivy in the outfield, and then you have the hand-changing scoreboard, which is still being used today. And then now they actually included a lot of, just until 2015, they included the video scoreboards, which was, before then, it was, you know, kind of outdated. A lot of people, you know, always talk smack about Wrigley Field and how it didn't seem like a traditional MLB ballpark. But now, I mean, you go and you see the big scoreboards on each side of the center field, I mean, the outfield, and you see, like, it's pretty modernized now. Plus, they added a park. They added a park outside of Wrigley Field where families can go and hang out. They could, you know, set a blanket and just watch the game from their big screens from across the street, which is pretty cool.
That is cool.
They're incorporating all the family time, even if you're not at the actual game. And then, I mean, it's a college-style atmosphere, of course. You have people who, you know, pretty much are drunk. They call themselves the bleacher bums. And they literally just camp out, like, 3 hours before the game to try to get the best seat in the bleachers because it's general admission.
I like that. Then, I think that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, actually, you know, my first Wrigley Field experience was the bleachers, which is pretty cool because we got there 3 hours early. But I actually caught four foul balls that...
Holy smokes! Not foul balls.
I'm sorry. It was practice balls that game. So I had one for each person that went with me.
So you were one of those. Cool. You were one of those fans that was pushing and shoving on your way in through the doors.
Yep, that was me.
I can just see that right now.
And then also Wrigley Field is located in a neighborhood area. It's a residential area. We have, I mean, it's called the North Side, right? But it's pretty much rich housing, and then they also have bars around the area, which they used to also have a McDonald's and a Taco Bell, but they actually converted that, I think, to that a family park area that I was telling you about earlier. But yeah, I mean, it's
that's
just
cool.
You have to go and see it for yourself, and just the experience of being there and seeing, like, everything outside the stadium makes it an incredible place to go.
I think there's no doubt in my mind that I'm going to end up seeing that place. It's amazing.
Yeah. Sounds cool.
All right, Ruben.
Okay. My number one is big time, and I think it's the best one. Of course, Madison Square Garden. And of course,
that's a good one.
I'm not a Knicks fan. I'm not a, you know, big time, but I mean, it's a iconic. If when you don't think of another word, I guess that's the word.
That's the word you got to use.
Trey's go-to word. The Knicks won the world championship in 1970 with Willis Reed as their guy. So that was a long time ago. One of the, I guess, five of the biggest things that happened there. Number two was Ali versus Frazier. That's the first time Ali got beat in 1971. And another thing, the Rangers won the Stanley Cup there in 94. The concert, they had a big concert for the 9/11. It was a fundraiser. Had all the big names, Jay-Z, Backstreet Boys, Elton John, you know, to raise money for the 9/11. And then in 1999, Gretzky retired his jersey and everything there in 1999. So that's it.
That's a good one.
I'm glad you did your research on that. I looked up Madison Square Garden. As a matter of fact, I wrote down a lot of facts, but I couldn't convince myself to put it on my list because apparently, it hosts the Knicks, who haven't been very relevant in a while, and it's mainly a music venue. So I had to omit that. But I mean, I respect it, especially with the facts that you gave us. My number one, and if you guys didn't notice, all of my fields are natural grass, except for obviously Cameron Indoor Stadium and Staples, because they are not really a grass kind of playing field. But mine's All England Club of Wimbledon. I looked up a lot of stuff on that, and obviously it's one of the biggest and most historic tournaments ever is Wimbledon. And let's see, it was opened in 1877. It's been open for 141 years. Unbelievable. A grass tennis court. It's got a retractable roof now. I think they built that I want to say it was 10 years ago. And so they kind of fitted it for that. But it's cool because there's a strict dress code. There's a tradition there. You have to be within dress code as a competitor. And then there's, for the spectators, the VIP spectators, they also have to be in dress code. So you can't have a Post Malone or somebody like that just walking up with shorts and a...
You can't have a big baller brand t-shirt on?
You can't have a big baller brand t-shirt on. You can't have holes in your shirt those hip-hop guys do, and they do it on purpose. You can't do it. You have to they will literally kick out anybody if they aren't wearing what they're supposed to, which is cool. And another tradition that kind of was different to me that I didn't really know about was their strawberries and cream. They sell thousands and thousands of pounds of their strawberries and cream. And that's one of the main attractions there. You go watch tennis and you do it because that's tradition there. It's in England, London, England. And I couldn't have thought of a better place to think about when I'm saying, this is historic as heck. 141 years. Are you kidding me? So, yeah. That's why I went with All England Club, Wimbledon. And, I think all of the lists were pretty dang good. I mean, I was cool with them.
Well, we got to do the same thing we did with the other lists and put them side by side and see who picks what.
I don't want to have to do that to y'all again, though. Do I have to do that again?
That's fine. I just got to say, you guys did your homework for this one, which is pretty amazing. Good job, guys.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's what happens when we don't have a real job.
Yeah, we don't have real jobs. This is what we do. Exactly. Any criticisms of any other lists? Do you guys have anything that you would like to say, hey, I don't know about that one?
Well, I'm not going to badmouth the Sun Bowl or anything like that. It was built out of a mountain, so that part of it was cool. But no, I think everybody's list was pretty cool. You know what I mean? Just a little bit. You know, like I said, I guess I had the most variety of all the lists, and I actually was going to
just put because you had horses, dude. That's all.
I was going to put the Daytona. That was actually going to be my 10 instead of AT&T. But then I thought, you know what? That's a sport, but it's not really a sport. So yeah, I kind of,
a faux sport.
It's like my honorable mention.
Yeah. I actually had, it's funny because I actually wrote up an honorable mention list. Do you guys want to hear it?
No.
Yeah,
absolutely not. I did have Madison Square Garden. I also had Wembley Stadium, which is in London, and it hosts 90,000 people with a 98,000 people record. It hosts the England national soccer team, and I looked it up. It is the sickest arena I've ever seen, hands down, just from pictures. So that was one. Cowboys Stadium, Pebble Beach was on there too. And Heinz Field. Ruben just loves to roll his eyes. I'm just going to expose him because he sits there and he rolls his eyes, and he had Madison Square Garden at number one.
Yeah, well, because it was a good one.
I'm just kidding. All right. Well, Danny, any last words before we go?
Nope. Just thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Ruben?
All right. No, it sounded good. I think look forward to the next one.
Hey, guys, subscribe to us on YouTube, on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe to us. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, and check out the allsportsbest.com. The website is ever-changing. Thanks to Danny. We got some movement going on there, obviously. This interview is one of them. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back soon.